You are about to receive a word in season from Bishop Samuel Beidou. Bishop Samuel is the resident pastor of the Word of Life Cathedral, Takrady. Get ready for an impartation as the Word of God comes. Now, today's message.
Why don't you clap your hands for Jesus? Lift up your hands and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be here in your presence and to hear your word. Guide us into your truth and give us your word. Open our eyes to behold wonderful things out of your law. May the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of your calling and what the riches of your glory of the inheritance is for the saints. Lord, we thank you and we bless you for this great opportunity to be here in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted aloud, amen. Amen. Clap your hands for Jesus. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. This morning, meeting all pastors after church, please. This morning, talking about salvation through the blood. Tell somebody, salvation is through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus has been given to us, and there are so many wonderful things that we can actually take out of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross. But the main, everything about our Christian life, everything about our Christian work is actually connected to our salvation. Tell somebody that everything about your Christian life is connected to salvation. Your Christian life, your work, every blessing, whatever there is, it's connected to salvation. If you take salvation away, everything is taken away. Hallelujah. If you take salvation out of the equation, nothing will work. So we are blessed that Jesus Christ, you know, everything about church, about your walk with the Lord, is connected to the cross. It's actually the cross. Did you get it? And that is where Jesus Christ suffered. So your joy is actually because Jesus suffered. And your happiness is linked to the sufferings on the cross. The promises that you claim in the Lord today is linked to the sufferings on the cross. Hallelujah. But the most important thing that we can, without any shadow of doubt, talk about when we remember the blood of Jesus is the salvation he wrought for us. Do you understand it? How many of you, the people at the back don't seem to understand what I'm saying? They don't. I said, the most important thing or the most important aspect of God's work is the salvation that he wrought for us. So I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about we who are sitting here. Hallelujah. Are you there? And are you excited? Now, the first step towards salvation is that salvation comes to you, and salvation is forgiveness through his blood. So that's the first step. Salvation is forgiveness. So that's the first step. Salvation is forgiveness through the blood. That means that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you receive salvation. And what happens to you is that you are forgiven. Tell somebody, I'm forgiven. Are you there? So let us read the Bible from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through to 7. Okay, 1, 2, 1, 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us. How many of you know that you have been chosen? God has chosen us. These are the promises. You see, Now, even as I read this, you have to, anybody here who is suffering rejection, how many of you have suffered rejection? You have felt rejected before. Don't lie. Lift up your hands. Not everybody, but some people have suffered and had that feeling. It's not a nice feeling that you are not liked. You are not chosen. Do you get it? In a place, in a group, in your family. Do you get it? At your workplace, that you feel rejected. And sometimes you feel rejected in life. But you see here, right there, that's why the Bible is important. Those of you who don't like scripture, if you are to read this, you realize that even if everybody has forsaken you, the Bible says that according as he has chosen us in him, God has chosen you. The most important thing, so these are the promises. Ephesians 1 has promises for you. You know, Ephesians 1. So if you want to, if you sometimes want some promises of God and to make some confessions, Ephesians 1. According as he has done this for us, this one. According as he had chosen us. Now, I was telling you about the promises. If you look at the three, it says that according as the verse says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So again, this is a promise of God. So all bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So when you are also having spiritual attacks, this is a prayer to pray. I'm showing you, this is just by the way. Tell somebody, this is just by the way. Claiming your promises. So you are actually seated in heavenly places, in spiritual places. Do you get it? In heavenly places. So even if you are sitting here on earth and your position is not good, you must know that you are sitting in heavenly places. So these are confessions. You must have confessions. Sometimes you need to make such confessions for your life. Ephesians 1. So many things there. So when you go back, go and read Ephesians 1 again. Tell somebody Ephesians 1 is for you. Yeah. Ephesians 1. Go and read it. Oh. Go and read it. Don't go and look at Facebook. Facebook has taken Ephesians 1 out of your life. Facebook and Twitter. And Instagram. That's taking Ephesians 1 out of your life. You didn't know. But you see, these are the confessions that can make you become bold. Sometimes you must ask yourself, what gives you boldness? Boldness comes from scripture. You become bold from scripture. In John chapter 8 verse 32, the Bible says that, and you will know the truth and you will be free. The truth, when you know it, the knowledge of truth makes you free. You don't know the truth, you are not free. The truth, when you know it, the knowledge of it, once you know it, you are not going to be ashamed, and you are not going to be sad. You wouldn't feel, I feel sad, and I feel I'm not liked, and I feel this, I feel rejected, I feel depressed. You are going to be depressed if you don't know the truth. You feel depression, so you need to imbibe this thing into your life. Hallelujah. Yes. This is how you can also overcome demons. Yes. Somebody was one time going through demon. You can confess all these things and always be confessing. Realize that the devil knows you know. So the demonic oppression, demonic attacks, they will not come into your life again. So go to Ephesians 1. It's a very good scripture, very good chapter to read. Go back to Ephesians 1, please. So verse 4, it says that according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy and without blame before him in love. 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children. Your predestination is that you're supposed to be abducted as a child by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. You are also accepted. Tell somebody, I'm accepted. I know the feeling of rejection is resolved here. Right now, anybody who is suffering from rejection, know you are accepted in the name of Jesus. Yes, if you know, people don't tell you their problems, but these are the real problems with human beings. Sometimes they feel a certain level of rejection, not accepted. But right here, we have been told that we are beloved. Even if you don't have a beloved, you have a beloved in God. Tell somebody, even if you don't have a beloved yet, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He has accepted us as beloved. You are accepted as a beloved. Amen. Beloved, dear one. You are dear to God. Listen, you are dear to God. That's why you must not say, and this one didn't say hello to me, and this one didn't say hello to me. Don't worry about the human being who has not said hello to you. Don't worry about the human being who has not called you, who has not said hi, and who has not brought you into his associations and made you also feel like you are one of the topmost people. Don't worry. You are not a topmost person here on earth, but you are a topmost and a beloved to God. Hallelujah. Oh, shout hallelujah. Yes, it's the truth. These are the real promises of God to us. Yeah. And then the verse 7, the Bible says, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. In whom, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption. We have redemption. We are redeemed. The Bible says redemption through his blood. Said redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sin. So when the first step towards salvation is that we have forgiveness. Redemption through the blood is actually forgiveness. That you are forgiven. Forgiven from what? Forgiven from the sins that we have committed. Forgiveness of sins. When we sin against somebody and you wrong somebody, what do you do? You see, you want to be corrected. The person is angry. So there's something that makes it not right between you and the person. So we, as we are here on earth, we have done wrong things against God. And God was not happy with us. We must accept that God was not happy with us. Are you there? That God himself says, I'm not happy. People think that God is okay. God is okay with sin. Because of grace, we are in the dispensation of grace. You have not understood grace. The grace makes you labor. When the Bible says grace, grace is not with works, but when, because it has been bestowed on you, not by works. Paul says that I am what I am by the grace of God. That is what I said. He says that I am not by the grace of God, but he said that by the grace of God that was bestowed on me, I labor more abundantly. Nevertheless, not I, but the grace of God. But it's a grace that makes you work hard. Work hard and make sure that you press on hard. Do you understand it? So you don't say that grace, 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 so sin, sin, sin. No. No. That's a mistake. Are you there? So the Bible is saying here that we are forgiven. We are forgiven of our mistakes. God was angry with us. Oh, how many of you have become angry before? I'm looking at some people who don't look like they can ever get angry. But how many of you have been angry before you were angry? Ooh. Lift up your hand again so that I'll look at people and say, you've been angry before. Reverend Eric, you have been angry before. How many of you are shocked? You see, brother, look at them. No, how many of you are genuinely shocked that Reverend Eric has been very angry before? Yes. Yes. Are you there? So God was angry. You see, the Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed against us, against all unrighteousness and all unholiness. Romans 1:18. The wrath of God, the anger, a raging. You see, I can picture God and a ball of anger was raging and rising up in his chest towards the world and towards unrighteousness. Anger rose in God's chest and God's heart like that. Against what? Unrighteousness. And against what? Unholiness. All unholiness and unholy things. Today, people don't regard God. Do all sorts of things. There are no boundaries. They live life without boundaries. They live anyhow. I'm talking about unbelievers. And you know how people live their lives. There's no God, so they live anyhow. But the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed. Romans chapter 1 talks about the sins and talks about salvation. Comes to why salvation came. It's all these are the things that brought wrath. God was angry. Angry at unrighteousness. Look at the unrighteousness. Look at the sins. Look at the unrighteousness. Look at the sins. Huh? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. God, don't sit down and say, oh, God is okay with the sins. Don't sit down and say that the unrighteousness, the wrongdoings, wrong things that man is doing against man. Man is doing certain things against man that is unrighteous. Ungodliness, some of the bad things, people, you open your mouth and say some negative things against God. You just disregard God and you profane God's name and speak anyhow towards God's ordinances. God's ordinances are not my ordinances. So don't just rise up and speak anyhow towards God's things, towards God's church, towards God's people, towards God's work, towards God's ordinances and God's covenants. Yeah. Don't just rise up and say that these are ungodly things. You have no regard for God. And that's what the Bible is saying, that God's wrath. It's not say God's anger. Wrath is it's like a heightened and a multiplied form of anger. Inflated and heightened. It's wilder. Wrath. The fury of God. It's unleashed. Huh? Revealed from heaven. It's coming down against all this. And go down. Go down, verse 19. Why? Why is this the case? Why is this the case? Quickly, quickly, computer. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. There are things that is known of God. People stand up to this and say, there's no God. It's not God. You talk anyhow. God, who is God? What is God? God is there. We are also here. I mean, talk anyhow. Why is God angry? Because that which may be known of God, you won't know everything about God. You cannot know everything about me. You can't know everything about me. You cannot. And I cannot also know everything about you. How much more God? The Bible said that which is known. When you see Pastor Tony here, what you can see is this round face. This is what you can know about him. This is what you can know about him. How much more God? That which can be known of God. That's what he's saying. You cannot know everything. It's manifest. What you can know of God is the one that he has revealed. The rest you don't know. You cannot know and you don't know. So don't ever question the things you don't know about God. Look at the things you know about God and acknowledge him as God. And that is what man has not been able to accept today. Man has not been able to accept that today. There are a few things that you can know. And the things that... Forget about what is written on. Well, that is one. But what you can see, what you can experience, what is revealed, is that is all. That's all you will know. Yes. You don't know everything. You cannot know everything about God. Even you don't know everything about yourself. Have you seen your intestines before? Have you seen your esophagus before? Have you seen your lungs before? You don't know everything about you. You don't know everything. Even you don't know everything. You don't know everything about you. That which is manifest. That which may be known of God. Which may be known. Which may. The one that may be known has been shown you, my brother. You can never say you have not. And therefore it goes on to say verse 20. The invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen. The things that are not visible, they are clearly seen. The ones that are not invisible that you are dreaming of. God says, I've shown you. He don't sit down and say that what God is mystical. God has revealed enough to you. Right there. Clearly seen. Everything that we see. Go around there and see. Everything. There are so many things that you can see that is pointing to God. Being understood by the things which are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. You can't have any excuse. You are not without excuse. Anybody who says there's no God, you are without excuse, my brother. Anybody who is living an ungodly life because you live a carefree life. You see, you are not careful. Carefree means you are not careful of any warning. You don't think about, hey, but I can't cross. Oh, no, you there, you don't mind. You cross everything. You cross every border because you live a carefree life. But the Bible says that you are without excuse. You are without excuse. Even if you've not read the Bible before, if you read Romans 1, it will tell you. Romans 1 and 2, you learn a lot about this. That if even the people, even the ones that have not heard the gospel before, they will be judged by how their conscience spoke to them. Yes. The ones that have never heard of Jesus before, they will also be judged. How will their judgment be? The conscience is what God gave to man, which human beings have seared it and destroyed it. So God will use the conscience. Because your conscience will tell you, this is wrong, this is bad. This is wrong, this is bad. This is wrong, this is bad. How many of you have had your conscience? You didn't know anything, but you see that you felt that it was wrong. Something was wrong. You didn't know. It's your conscience. God puts it in you. It's an internal mechanism that God used to moderate your life. And that's God. So for some people, they will stand before God. God will use just that to judge them. They've never heard the gospel. But you will be judged. And based on what is in you, what did you see? And what did it tell you about God? What you saw? What did your conscience tell you when you saw the sea? You saw the bird fly. When you saw certain things, the way plants grew. And all the different creatures that were in this world. What did your conscience tell you? God is going to use it to judge you. So that you are without excuse. You are without what? Excuse. Nobody is without excuse. Stop giving these excuses. It's not possible. That's what the Bible says. And that's why the wrath of God is revealed. Because man has turned to the lack of this so-called scientific empirical evidence of God to misbehave and to speak anyhow and to talk anyhow and to make God look like he's not real. No problem. Tell somebody, no problem. Yes, a day is coming, you will know that he is real. And so then Bible talks about the wrath, ungodliness, sexual sins, perversions, immorality, drinking, people drink anyhow, live a life of no control, live anyhow. All of that, these are the wrath, the things that God said that my wrath is revealed from heaven against unrighteousness of men. These things we are doing, these things, no control. People don't like control. Boundaries, why not? They like you say, why not? Why are you saying this? That's why they don't like you. So when you bring the Bible, what's the Bible? The Bible was written by hand because people don't like the boundaries that the scriptures create. But the wrath of God is revealed. That's why the Bible says, even in the same breath of Romans 1, it says that even as they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful. And God has given us verse 28. That God, you see, God gave them over to a reprobate mind so that they would do those things which are not what? Convenient. Even as they knew God, they felt God, they experienced God in their conscience. They felt God in a way. God also gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them over. God said that. It's over. Give us verse 21 also. Give us 21. Look at verse 21. Huh? 20. 21. Because they knew God. It's rather 21. 21 says that. But they knew God. They glorified him. Neither were they thankful. But it came vain in their imagination. 28 also talks about their mind. 28 talks about their mind. But 21 talks about their the knowledge of God. They did not like to glorify God. They didn't want God. These are the ungodliness and unrighteousness God is talking about. So God was angry. And the Bible says that. Now, God is angry with man. What does he do? He must first of all forgive man. Man has hurt God badly. We've hurt God badly. You know, when you create somebody, God liked man. God created man and wanted to fellowship with man. God liked man. God made man in his image. God did not make angels in his image. So we are a special breed. We are a special group of people. Because God made us like him. Put certain characteristics of himself in us. We are special. We are different. What is happening here on earth is amazing. Angels want to be part of what is happening here on earth. Because man has the characteristics of God. And now man hates God badly. God made us specially. And man hates God badly. Dislike God. And the devil is fighting hard to make man forget about God, who made us specially. And that's what the devil is doing. And so, you read the Bible, you realize that all throughout, you see, the devil is trying hard to just make man forget God. And so, the anger of God rose and rose, and the wrath of God is revealed. And then we read in Ephesians 1, verse 7, that in him, that's Jesus Christ, God needed to cool down. You know, when you're angry, you must cool down. How many of you have been angry before? It was difficult for you to cool down. Hey! Charlie, a certain level is some of the painful, because some of the things are painful. Painful! Do you know some of the things that are painful? Betrayal. Painful! It's a painful thing to feel betrayed by somebody that shouldn't have betrayed you. Painful! And that's what we did. We betrayed God. We didn't have to betray God. We chose the devil. We chose another voice over God. And that's a painful one. That's why it's very difficult. I mean, betrayal and treachery and disloyalty, they kill you. Now, let's not talk about, they will kill you all throughout history. If you like, read historic things. It's just one of the most wildest, one of the wildest sins to betray a country, a king. No. It is, your head must go. That's all. Simple. If that's why, if they catch somebody today as a spy, like if a Russian catches a spy, U.S. spy in Russia, I mean, for you to go back, it will take a miracle. Or if an American catches a Russian spy, then you see, they know themselves. There are so many things they don't say. They've caught, each of them have caught some. And they have them. They don't say it. Because it cannot come out. They have these people. Hey! Israel as well. Hey, if you are a spy and they catch you in Israel, or they catch you as a spy in these enemy countries. Hey! Afghanistan. You cannot survive. No. Huh? Read a story about Eli Cohen. Charlie, when he found out, I think it was in Syria, found out he was a spy. He was an Israeli spy for them. And he rose up in the ranks, all in the Syrian government. But no, he was. He became a government official. Top government official. He was a spy. When they found him, they killed him. They negotiated. Yeah, they never released him. Will you go and read about him? Are you there? There are stories like that. What I'm saying is that the level of hurt was so much that God's wrath, there was nothing that could actually reduce and calm God's anger. So in Romans, in Hebrews 1:7, the Bible says that in whom we have redemption. So Jesus Christ is the one we are talking about here. Redemption through the blood. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. So God will forgive us when we are redeemed by his blood, not by giving an offering. Hello? An offering will not soothe God's anger. No. Knowing a man of God, your father or whatever, knowing a man of God coming to church, no. Redemption is through the blood. And that's when you have forgiveness. That's when God will calm down. When God sees the blood of his son, he calms down. That is why we need forgiveness. That's why we need the blood. That's why the blood is powerful. I said, that's why the blood is powerful. Nothing else can calm God except the blood. Nothing, oh. Nothing can calm God. Let me tell you, nothing can calm God and make God be happy with us. I'll be okay with us. It's only the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Because man, you can see all around how men have just forsaken God. And we need the redemption that comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sin. We must be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. Forgiven for what? For forsaking God. For being unrighteous. How many of you can think about unrighteous, some of your unrighteousness? Unrighteousness. People have been unrighteousness with, I've been doing unrighteous things with money. Unrighteous. The way you acted against your brother was wrong. The way you acted against your brother was wrong. Against your sister was wrong. You acted, it was against the laws of God. It was against the laws of God to act in a certain way. Hatred. Hatred against man is unrighteousness. Huh? It's not good. And certain things and so many other things. And your ungodliness. All of these things. And God says that nothing can wipe away all these faults. Only my blood. Hallelujah. Only my blood. And God is calm. God is cool. God sees you and says, I'm okay. Maya. You know, I'm okay. Yeah. Sometimes you can get angry. God, you see, the nature of God is in you. That's why. Tell someone, the nature of God is in you. Yes. I don't know whether animals get angry, but we get angry. And if God is also getting angry, why not? Because he created us in his image. So he can get angry. So the blood brings forgiveness. When he sees the blood, he can forgive. If the blood is not on you, you are not forgiven. If you have not received the blood of Jesus, you are not forgiven. Are you there at the back? If you don't, that's why those who don't accept the blood of Jesus Christ, they have damned themselves. The only thing that will make you and give you a pass and will give you credence or will make God even listen to your case is the blood. Yes. The blood gives you access. Otherwise, you must be stopped at the gates. Hallelujah. Amen. May the blood of Jesus speak for you. Amen. And that's why you see, you must speak about the blood to people. You must preach the blood to people. You must talk to everybody. Because the Bible says the wrath of God is revealed, though. It's revealed against all the unrighteousness, the people who speak anyhow. That's why you must be watchful. Those of you who are friends who speak anyhow about church and God, you must be careful. You are almost aiding and abetting. Like a Christian who's in league with such people. Your friends are unbelievers who are okay here and there. They are the crossover type. You should be watchful. They are the people who are your real friends, your true friends. You should be watchful and be careful. Because the Bible talks about this. God's wrath is revealed against such people. Whether they like it or not. Unless they accept the blood. You know why the Bible says that through the foolish... It says that through the preaching of the cross... First Corinthians, the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the blood is to some people foolishness. But unto us who are saved, unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Say the power of God. Preaching of the blood, what I'm preaching, it looks foolish to people. That's why you must go around and preach to them. Preach to people who will not listen, preach to them. I say, preach to people who will even not listen to you. Preach and tell them, it's only the blood that saves. It is only the blood that saves. It's only the blood that can bring you forgiveness. Nothing else. No, good talks will not bring salvation. Go talk good. You know how to talk and motivate people. You know, economic engineering and this, my friend. It's not going to bring salvation. Nothing. Nothing. Economics will not bring salvation. Mathematics will not bring salvation. Science discoveries does not bring salvation. Salvation is of the blood. Through the foolishness of my saying, the blood will save you. That is how you'll be saved. Nothing else. May you receive the blood of Jesus. Forgiveness of sin. That's the fact. Hallelujah. And that's the first step towards salvation. Number two, quickly. I hope to go a little faster from here. Number two. The second step to salvation is cleansing through the blood. They are cleansed. Cleansing. They are cleansed through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. After you are forgiven, you must be cleansed. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. The Bible says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ. It says that we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us all from our sins. He cleanses us from all our sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sins. Cleansing. This is present. You see, cleansing is part of salvation. Forgiveness is one. But after you are forgiven, you must be cleansed because you are dirty. You are dirty. You have touched things you are not supposed to touch. How many of you have touched things you are not supposed to touch? You have touched things you are not supposed to touch. Hey, you are dirty. Your hands are dirty. Hello? How many of you have seen things you are not supposed to see? Hey, your eyes are dirty. Your eyes are dirty. Hello, 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 hello. How many of you have said things your mouth was not supposed to say? Your mouth is stinking. It's stinking. Hey. Yeah. You must. Why do you brush your teeth? When you move on. Your mouth is stinking. So you must use toothbrush. The bristles must be very strong. Scrap it. Scrap it. One day, somebody was brushing their teeth. I said, why have you, the way you are brushing your teeth, have you gone to each toilet? You are scrubbing it too much. University boys, they speak nonsense. I remember, I heard this in the university. When I was there, they said, why, you go chop toilet or what? The way they scrub the teeth. People are some way. Man, so you must cleanse yourself. You see how we wash? You clean yourself. How many of you have been bathing before and you saw that the soap, white soap, has there's brown in it? You wonder, is it from your body? Is this from your body? Hello? How many of you have wondered before, say, this brown thing? Why a fin? And then I want you now, why a fin? So, brown, the thing is looking brown. Hello? That's why we bath. Cleansing. You must be cleansed. If we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Anybody who does not come to church, look at this scripture and tell them, you are lost if you are staying at home.
Yeah.
You are lost. Look, don't have any better form of presentation. You are lost too. You are not in the light. When you are in the light, you don't hide. When you are in the light, you fellowship with fellow believers. That is the simple and the plain truth. Don't stay at home. Don't give any reason why you don't come to church. The church is this. I said, okay, where do you want to go to? Which church do you want to go to? Okay, give me the church's name and then let me list the problems for you. Every church has problems. Tell somebody, every church has problems. What's your problem? Why they worry? Why they worry? Every church, you are too worried. Every church has problems. Nothing is perfect anywhere, my friend. Nothing is perfect anywhere. Only you don't know the imperfections, I'm telling you. If we show you the imperfections, you will run back to your church. Are you there? You run back. So, the Bible here is saying that if you fellowship with another, it shows you are in the light. You must be in the light. We are all in the light. People of the light fellowship one with another. And then, the Bible said the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all our sins. Now, if you look at this scripture is talking about the blood. What does the blood do? It cleanses us. Now, this was even talking about believers. But right from the beginning, when you are forgiven, you must be cleansed. Cleansed from all the impurities, all the bad things. You feel dirty. There are things you do, you feel dirty. This one. It's only the blood that can cleanse you. The blood of Jesus. Nothing can cleanse you. You know, I told you about the story of the man that went bathing for about 120 hours, wanting to feel cleansed. You know, 120 hours of being under the shower will not make you feel cleansed. Only the blood of Jesus has that potency. It's potent and strong and powerful. We don't know the blood of Jesus Christ, the composition of the blood of Jesus. But the composition of the blood of Jesus is quite strong and high. It has an ability to cleanse you of all the different evils that you have committed. Every evil thing. One day, a certain person who went to, they suspected him of stealing, and they started chasing him. They wanted to lynch him. That's why you must be at the right place at the right time. And then sometimes other factors. But he was running, and they were chasing him. Because they suspected him of being a thief. And as he was running, he knew that if these people catch him, they get him. They beat him, they can kill him. And so as he was running, he saw a pit made of liquid, you know, feces. Water. No, so that he saw that Charlie, that was his salvation. Because there was nowhere to run. Then he jumped into it. I don't know whether he didn't know what it was. But he jumped into it. Then he saw that was what he was in. He started shouting because he could have also drowned in it. Everything, please help me, whatever. Then some people had compassion on him. Some of the people, which their hearts, they had compassion, a change of heart. Then they stretched a rod for him. And then he came out. When he came out, he was saying, everybody said, they started, you can't even beat him. What is on him is enough. They didn't even beat him. To all the pursuers, it left him. He was stinking because this is a liquid made of different combinations that has also been programmed and left for a while. So it's a charged combination. smelling bad. And then the people left. And then some few people were saying, no, no, you must wash down. Although they have forgiven him, they felt that he must wash down. You must clean yourself. And the blood does that for us. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. Forgives you of all the dirty things. What is on you? You know? This is why everybody here has a chance. Everybody. I said what? Everybody has a chance. You have a chance. Look at your nearest person. By you, the nearest person, by saying you have a chance. There's a chance. You are not condemned. God likes you. God wants you. So he must be cleansed. So the Bible says that. And let me tell you something. The blood cleanses. Cleanses. There's nothing emotions here. There is nothing like an emotional attachment. There's nothing like you must feel emotionally cleansed before. Remember this, that's the problem of Christians. There's nothing like an emotional condition that you must, it is a statement of fact. And when you receive the blood cleanses you. It's a fact. You cannot say that you feel and I still feel whatever. It's not about how you feel. It's not about what you are feeling. It is about what is stated and what is a fact. The fact is the fact that the blood cleanses you. Period. Receive the blood of Jesus. That brings cleansing. You are cleansed from today. Amen. Everything. Hallelujah. Amen. The second point is the cleansing. The third one is sanctification. Sanctification. You are sanctified. Sanctification through the blood. The third step of salvation. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 12. Hebrews 13 verse 12. After you are cleansed, the Bible says 12 and 13. Look at that. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate, that he might sanctify them. Jesus Christ, that he wanted to sanctify the people. Huh? With what? With his words. With his what? With his blood. He suffered without the gate. Jesus suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go to verse 13. Let us therefore go outside the camp. Let us therefore go forth without him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. So we too must go out there. But the verse 12 is the most important part. That he might sanctify us, he had to shed his blood. He had to suffer. His blood had to be shed. That he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gates. He suffered without the gate. What is sanctification? Sanctification means that you are set apart. You are set aside. That God has made you special. That is sanctification. Oh God, after you are cleansed, the same blood makes you special. It makes you special and makes you usable. You are set aside for a holy use. That you too and me too, we can all preach. You see, we are not originally priests, but we are preaching. We didn't know that we'll be holding microphones. I said we didn't know we'll be holding microphones. You know? This last past week, I was around when I got a message from a friend of mine. My friend, as I was growing up, and then I was actually traveling. They said, oh, he has come from America. Then I said, oh, okay. I said, I'm also out of town. That you wouldn't see me. I've not seen him for some time. I mean, we used to stay in the same area, being with him to school, university, as he was around. But when he came, then the school we attended, we were all friends. Myself and she, we stayed quite close. We're all around the same area. So this one, she's in town. So I think they met, just chatting old school things. Actually, this lady was actually, I was the school prefect. She was the girls prefect. She was like the my main assistant. And she sent me a message that, oh, she has met my friend. So that's when I saw his pictures. When I saw him, I said, this is me. His hair, you see, it's like a rasta hair. This was my friend like this. You see, so I am preaching, but if I show you the picture, you will see who I was. I would have been. His hair, a rasta, whatever. You will understand what I'm saying. that was him. That's why she said, oh, we're very close friends. But we didn't know that we'd be preaching. But through the blood, God has set us aside and given us an opportunity. Hello? You know? Yes. Charlie. When I saw it, I said, this one. Maybe I would have shown him how to do it. Oh, yes. You can't believe it. Because when you look at me, you say, oh, this one, oh, what wouldn't suffer? What did I share? Look at you. You wouldn't have recognized me. Yes, you wouldn't have recognized me. But I'm saying that it takes the blood that will set you apart. That not knowing that, you see, although God has predestined you, he has a process. And the process is through the blood. So when the blood is applied, then you are activated. The blood activates you. And the blood forgives you. The blood cleanses you. And the blood sets you apart. May you be sanctified. And may you be made holy. Amen. Holiness is through the blood. Let me tell you, holiness, sanctification. Okay, to be sanctified and to be set apart is through the blood. That Jesus Christ might sanctify us through his blood. He suffered so that we will be holy. It is a fact. You can't work for it. I said you can't work for this. Are you there? You can't work for holiness. You are working to be holy. My friend, it's a very dangerous task to pursue. You must receive God's holiness. Hallelujah. How many of you want God to use you? Receive the blood, accept the blood. Yes, God uses you through the blood. Your qualification is through the blood. Are you there? Number 4. Huh? Are you there? The next step of salvation is what? Redemption. That we are redeemed. To redeem is to get back. To win or to buy somebody or something back. You see, the legal process of getting somebody out of prison, it's long. Yes, it's a very long. If somebody is sentenced to prison or something has taken the person inside, if somebody has to come out or even is given a pardon, the pardon is a process. It's a process document that must be signed, and these people have been pardoned, and certain documentations have to be completed up. Paperwork must be done. So many things. Sometimes you need a lawyer to sign something. You need this, whatever. A stamp here. The person to stamp it has traveled. The stamp. He has traveled with a stamp. He has traveled with a stamp. Sometimes you go to some of these offices and say, oh, the stamp, when you stamp it, is 20 cities. But the person, he's not there. You see, so for you to get him to come and sit down and stamp for you, may pay 1,000 cities so that he will stamp the 20 Ghana city table. And without the stamp, you can't proceed with the document. Hey! It's not a simple thing, right? What I'm talking about is not a fairy tale story. It's a real story. The stamp, when you stamp, it's 20 Ghana cities. But he won't sit there. He has the stamp. Oh, man. But without that stamp, the stamp is also so needed. And without the signature and the stamp, you can't proceed. So, redemption is one of the powerful results and effects of the blood. Redemption. What do I mean? When you are in sin, you belong to Satan. You are originally for Satan. And you are locked with him. You are in his camp. You belong to him. And God understands his laws. God knows laws. He set the laws and he doesn't break the law. So that's why even Jesus Christ had to come into this world. He had to be made and be born. He had to come as a man. He didn't break it. So Jesus Christ became a man. He suffered. He went through all that men should have so that he can shed his blood. He suffered here on earth. So it is because he gave access to this world to a man, a human being. A spirit cannot really rule unless the spirit is working through a man. So Jesus Christ had to come through that. So God is like that. God's laws. It's the same thing. Do you understand it? Yeah. With how man fell and then became a captive of Satan. That's why the preaching He said that to set the captives free, those that are in captivity, you belong there. Let me show you why this captivity thing is real. Captivity, that's why you sin. Sin. You don't want to do it, but you do it. You don't want to do it. Like, this is the last time, but the next time is another the last time. Then the next time is the last second of the last ones. And you go to the last, this is the very, very last. And every time is the last. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Some people don't understand it. Because of the captivity that you are into, sometimes you belong to, you are locked in a camp. And then the devil is controlling you in his camp. You are set free today in the name of Jesus. Any captivity you are in, I declare that you are free in the name of Jesus. Shout a proper amen.
Amen.
So, Jesus comes and says, I must buy this person back. This is a slave in the camp. I must buy this person back. This person must get out. This person must legally belong to me. And the Bible says that, you see, let's go to Revelations 5. Revelations 5, 9 and 10. Read it. Let's read it. They sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the holy book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of that every kindred. He was slain. He was killed. He was slain. And what did he do? By that, he redeemed us. That's redemption. Give us the definition you gave again. Just swish and then you come back to this. He redeemed us. You must try and understand the English. Otherwise, it's a big word. Where you just gloss over. It's a powerful word. He redeemed us. Redemption is the act of purchasing back something previously sold. So it wouldn't have been true. If it wasn't true, Jesus wouldn't have, the revelations wouldn't have said that. We were bought back with the blood. So if you said the act of buying back what was previously sold, we were sold to the devil. So go back to Revelations 5:9. He says that the lamb that was slain, worthy is the lamb that was slain, for thou was slain and has redeemed us. You have bought us back when we were previously sold. You see, you bought us back to God. Say to God. Otherwise, you are with somebody else. Who are you with? You are with Jack Toronto. You know you are with Jack Toronto. Some of you are with Jack Toronto. Your
chest.
Kobe Brown was lying on your chest. Hey! Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. Kobe Brown. The guy's name was Kobe Brown. You were in the camp of Kobe Brown. Was lying on your chest. You are not free. And Satan had you. But look at that. He redeemed us. He bought us back when we were previously sold. Back to God. Wow. Go back to the scripture. Previously sold. He has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of everywhere. Oh, is this not powerful? Is this not powerful? Look at that, by the blood. You know, it would have been very painful if you needed an American visa to be bought back. Because Ghanaians, dear, hell straight. You see how people cherish an American visa? Say, I have a visa too. I'm a U.S. citizen of U.S. Hey, my friend, that cannot buy you back from Satan. No, that cannot. We cherish certain things, but look at this redemption. You don't need a visa. You need to just accept the blood of Jesus. That is very powerful. The blood of Jesus, that is all powerful to bring you back from the camp of Satan. Redeemed us by the blood. We are redeemed to God again. How many of you are happy that you are united, reunited with God? That God is at peace with you. That God is in your camp. You are in his camp. You are together. It gives you a certain peace. Yes, you have a serene mind. You are not confused. You know, do you know one of the confusions of Satan? God is not with him. That's a confusion. So that's why he's raging and destroying everything. Charlie, when God leaves you, you are left with nothing. Then God takes his presence away and says, you are finished. I will never be with you again. Hey! That's Satan. God left. He's left him. His presence, his light is left. He's left with darkness. So we are bought back by his blood. From where? Every kindred, every tongue, every nation, every people, everywhere. It doesn't matter your color. Black, white, black, yellow, white, brown, everybody. Hallelujah. And then he says that, and has made us, listen to this, has made us special. He bought us with his blood, he redeemed us with his blood, and he made us special, and he made us unto our God, kings and priests, that we may reign here on earth. May you reign here on earth. Hallelujah. That's the power of the blood. That's the power that is in the blood, that we may reign here on earth. Amen. And that's what the Bible also says in Ephesians 1, verse 7. It says that, and he has redeemed us with his own blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Number what? Five? I give you the fifth one. It's actually 5 points. Reconciliation. Reconciliation through the blood. The fifth step to salvation is reconciliation through the blood. The fifth point. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Give us up to 25 or 26. 23, 24, 25. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Hallelujah. But this point, propitiation, is reconciliation, to have reconciliation. Look, it is one of the difficult things to see. Look at Israel and these people. I don't know whether there can ever be a reconciliation. It's never. I don't know how America will be at peace with Russia. I don't know how. Maybe one day it will happen. I don't know how. India and then Pakistan will be peaceful. Like they will not be at loggerheads. Countries. When husband and wives, there's a problem. It's not easy. That even sometimes there's forgiveness, but there's no reconciliation. So that's why the blood has many effects. There can be forgiveness, but there's no reconciliation. But the blood brings you forgiveness and brings back the relationship back to normal, as though nothing happened. Wow, what a blessing. Hey, it's wild though. Yes. You know, because when you look at relationships and marriages, when something happens, you can see that although they are together, but it's not the same. There's something that has made, it's almost like the love reduces from 100 to like 45. It's no longer at 100%. Although there is reconciliation, although there is forgiveness, there is no proper reconciliation that everything is okay. That one wouldn't have to think about the persons when you are relating, knowing that this one, we are reconciled, there's no other problem. There can be forgiveness. So have you heard people say that? Oh, me, I'm forgiving him. Oh, I don't have any problem. Have you heard it before? Oh, me, I'm forgiving him. Oh, me, dear, my heart is pure. Me, I don't have any problem. Hey! But what is the reason? The second step is that there has not been any reconciliation. That's a problem. Charlie, it's okay. Me, I've forgiven him. That's all. Me, I know in my heart. God knows my heart. Hey. But there is no what? Reconciliation. But the blood. So that's why God has reconciled us back to him. We couldn't have done it. He has reconciled us back to himself. And he makes it as if there's no problem has occurred before. How many of you will be happy to stand before the judgment seat and then God say, oh, there's no problem. You are born again, right? And does not remember anything. How many of you will like that? Wow. You see, listen, lift up your hands. I want to tell you something. How many of you want that? You stand before God and say, no, there's no problem. Like your problems are not brought up. They're not brought up ever. Lift up your hand. I'll tell you something beautiful. Now, this is real. This is real, and it has nothing to do with emotions or work. It is a fact. If I accept Jesus Christ, this is it. We stand before him. It has nothing to do with what you did. The fact that you have accepted him wholly, your sins are gone, you are reconciled with him, and you are free to flow. You are free to flow and to relate with him like a father and a son will relate. Wow! Wow! To become friendly again. We stand here. I am a friend of God. Look at you singing, I'm a friend of God. The way you have broken God's heart several times. You have broken God's heart. I am number one heartbreaker. Heartbreaker number one. You have broken God's heart all the time, but you sing, I am a friend of God. You are always singing and dancing. But it's only God you can sing this to. It's only God you can sing this to. If you like, go and sing this to your husband. I say, hey, how about you? Go and sing this to your wife. Because you see, proper reconciliation is not to people. Marriages don't become friendly like before. That talks about reconciliation. Like never be like the same way it was. So the blood is so powerful. Very powerful. Hallelujah. Salvation through. This is what it means. You know, I'll tell you something. The reason why this message is important for you is that you say you are saved, but you can't talk about your salvation. You can't stand for 30 minutes and explain your salvation to somebody. As a Christian, it makes it a very serious problem for you as a Christian. That you can't explain your salvation like this. You can't explain what has happened to you. That is why you cannot win souls. Because you cannot explain what has happened to you. What do you mean by the blood? I was cleansed by the blood. What do you mean by, now you have a pork, by the way. You can stand for 30 minutes and explain what has happened to you. Reconciled with him. How many of you have done something wrong? You know, you are dodging somebody. You see, because of what you've done. You meet him here, so you won't go for the program. Then you go to, you won't come, lift up your hand. That's how it is. So we are reconciled to God. We can freely, boldly come to him. Why I say, God, the blood, please, the blood, by the blood. Then you come boldly with thanksgiving, with praise, and you relate with God. Clap your hands together for Jesus. Shout and say, I'm saved by the blood. Say, I'm cleansed by the blood. Shout and say, I'm forgiven by the blood. Shout and say, I'm reconciled to God by the blood. Shout and say, I'm sanctified by the blood. Clap your hands, stand to your feet, everybody. This is one of the wildest revelations of God to me. Wild. Wow. Wild. 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 Wild revelation about my life. This is a message for you. If you understand this message, you can stand and talk to people this week. Like all this week leading to Easter. You come to church with 10 people. Well, that is actually what we are going to do. Everybody, every human being, not percentile. I'm not talking to percentile leaders. I'm not talking to pastors. Every single person here, you are supposed to come with 10 people. By the blood. Not by works, by the blood. You show people the blood and say, I want to talk to you about the blood. I want to talk to you about the blood. You know, sometimes when you talk to some guys, they feel you are going to propose. Sister, I'm not coming to propose to you. I want you to know that I'm not coming to propose to you. Sometimes I have to talk like that. You have to talk like you are foolish. I say, sister, I want you to know that I'm not coming to propose to you. You can even say that my wife is more pretty than you, by the way. But I want you to know that. And you have to use things like, I say, no, I'm not coming to propose to you. I'm not interested in you, Kra. I'm interested in your salvation. You have to be bold. Oh, yes. You have to be bold. Talk to people. I say, stop. So I'm talking to you about heaven. You have to also be serious. You must have a serious face. I said, listen, something is going to happen to you. Something is going to happen to you very soon, very soon, soon and very soon. You're going to see the King. You're going to see, you have to also make your voice. And I said, we're going to see the King. And very soon, you're going to see the King. And you can't joke with your life, my sister. I'm not interested in you, sister. I'm not interested in you. I'm just here to present to you the blood of Jesus that saved me. The blood of Jesus. You need Jesus. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. If you are bargaining for the souls of men, there's a way to talk. If you are bargaining for the souls of men, you are not sharing milk and you are not sharing Gary and milk and sardine. You are sharing salvation. You talk to her and say, sister, you need to give your life to God. You must give your life. You cannot die and go to hell. You can't die. What is it going to profit you if you gain the whole world? The blood of Jesus is real for you. It's real. And it is real. It is real.
The blood is real. Jesus is real. The blood is real. The blood is real. You have to talk to them. Tell them boldly. Look at them and speak to them and tell them, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the rich person. Don't be afraid of the poor person, and tell them that it does not matter whether they will accept or not. And say, please listen to me. Listen to me. I'm telling you something. I have something for you. Very soon you are going to die. We are all going to die. But are you saved? Can you not just accept this blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. That's why we are celebrating Easter. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Then you talk to them and you preach to them and you invite them to church and say, come this Sunday. My church is having a special program on Easter Sunday. You must come and you must be a part of it. And this Good Friday, hallelujah. How many of you are going to be a part of this special blood sharing? We'll be sharing the blood all over the city. The blood. We're going to share the blood all over the city and tell people about the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You must come with your tenth. Try and come with tenth on Good Friday and then on Easter Sunday, because the blood is real. Share the blood. Yes. It is just a matter of time, and you will know that it looked like you were acting, but you were not acting. It's no act. When it comes to life and death, are you saying somebody's acting? You are going to die and never come back. What is acting here? Your soul is what I'm talking about. Jesus, help us. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. See this song, eh? I like it. Give us the words. Give us the words. You see, you don't seem to understand. Give us the words. Look at the words, eh? And look at something. Look at the words. You will understand it. 5, 4, 3, 2. One. You see, look at this one. See, listen. It's not a joke. I like the song. I like the song because it is not a joke. I like the song. I really love the note. The words. Look at that. I'm forgiven because somebody's blood, he was forsaken and his blood was shed. The reason why I am accepted is because he was condemned. He says, I am alive and well. Your spirit lives in me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You see, forgiveness through the blood. Oh, forgiveness through the blood. You are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives within me. Because you died and rose again. Sing it again. I'm forgiven. Oh, I'm forgiven. Try and sing it to my brother. Try and sing it.
Because you were forsaken.
Sing it from the bottom of your lungs. Sing it.
I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
I'm forgiven
because
you were forsaken.
Some people are not singing. Look at the board, look at the screen and sing. You were condemned.
You were condemned.
Forgiven because you were forsaken.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken.
I am accepted, yes, Lord.
I'm accepted. You were condemned.
I'm alive and well.
I'm alive and well. Your spirit lives.
in all I do,
in all I do, I honor you.
In all I do,
in all I do, I honor you.
Father, we thank you that you forgave us. You have forgiven us. You have redeemed us. You have reconciled us. You have sanctified us. You have cleansed us. We are grateful. We bless you. We thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We believe that you have been truly blessed. Send a mail to Bishop Samuel at bishopsamuelbeidu@gmail.com. Introduce this podcast to a friend. Keep listening and live passionately for Jesus.